This lesson is TBP 23, and our series that we're on is called The Prayer of Commitment. And this lesson in our series is called Cast Not Away Your Confidence.
Down to verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. God's telling us through here, through His Holy Spirit, that we're not to cast away our confidence, that we're supposed to maintain our confidence in the things we've learned. Why? Because that confidence in His Word and what He said has great payback of reward. See, a lot of Christians are walking around and they're hoping for something happens, and they're kind of believing God something happens, but God says you need to hang in there and not cast away your confidence. Because that very confidence, the thing you're not supposed to cast away, is the very thing that will give you this great reward. You know, the more I go along here as a Christian, the more I'm impressed with the fact, you know, I've heard this all my life. I mean, since I've been a Christian, God is a faith God. We've all heard that. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We've all heard that. But, you know, it really is true. God really wants to do a whole lot of things in our lives that He can't do because we aren't exhibiting a whole lot of faith in some areas. Okay? And He's saying here, sometimes you need to call back to remembrance of former days when you really did things and things were really happening. And He's saying, don't cast away your confidence. And He says, for you to have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And if we go to the sixth verse, chapter 11, we see, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if we had nothing else to go on, we'd know here that we need something, we need some faith to really get the things from God that He wants to give us. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You know, I was praying this afternoon in the Spirit for a while, and started thinking about these verses a little bit, and I got to thinking about people that started off well, and then all of a sudden it drained away in certain circumstance. We've got to be careful that we maintain our faith level up, because it's not something like you get it once and then that's the end of it, all right? I've heard Kenneth Hagin say it this way. I'm kind of a, you know, I like Kenneth Hagin's teaching. They really minister to me. I like the way he approaches it. No nonsense, in love. He's not real theatrical. He just gives you the word. And he said, you know, just because you've eaten a T-bone steak once doesn't mean that's it. I've had steak. Now I'm ready for something else. You eat it again and again and again. And it's the same way with the Word of God. Jerry Savelle, I heard once at a full gospel businessman in advance, said, you know, walk by faith, walk in the faith life, is sort of like paddling a canoe up against a gentle stream. You don't have to do anything to go backwards except quit paddling. So you never quite arrive. And so, you know, because we need to, you know, not work hard, but just keep hanging in there, keep doing the faith thing, keep reading the Word, meditating in the Word, and good things will happen. And I thought about my own life. Started off, boom, you know, I mean, I was born again, saved. I mean, I really wanted to go to town. I've wasted enough time, you know, and I was one of these conversions that just overnight black and white type of thing. Some are more gentle, some are more, mine was a whammer. And Marianne will go for that. She knows about that. And we started off getting tapes. I mean, I prayed, God, teach me, teach me, teach me. I need to know some things. You know, I don't know anything. Tapes started showing up in the mail. I never asked for. And I listened to those tapes, and I began to listen to tapes on tithing and things like that. And we started doing all those things. And good things started happening. Real good things. In fact, we wrote down on a piece of paper, all of us wrote down some scriptures we claim for life. These were life. The kids were only 7 and 9. Kelly and Aaron, and they signed that paper. I signed that paper. Mary Ann signed that paper, and Sean was only 6 months old because he didn't sign the paper. I don't remember if we got a little X from him or what. But we put this paper on the wall and framed it, and what it said was, Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit our financial situation, all our situation, prayer commitments, what we're talking about, okay? Commit it all unto you. Your word says, and we quoted some scriptures, Deuteronomy, we're redeemed from the curse, we're eligible for the blessing. Galatians 3:13, Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 15. Claimed all that. Claimed Malachi 3:10. The four tithers, God promised to open the windows of heaven and pour out upon us such a blessing you don't have room to receive it. Now prove me in this. It says, Father, we're proving you in this. We're going to do this. We're writing it down. We're going on record. We're going to do this. We pledge to you to do this. And we fully expect that you're going to be involved in our financial lives and the rest of our lives. We signed this, put it on a wall. And the first thing that happened was our house burned down. I had no idea I was going to talk about this tonight. But that's what happened. And it was a fork in the road. We had committed this unto God. What are we going to do now? Okay, and I'll never forget, all night long we heard this fire was raging. We had to flee the canyon where our house was. We didn't know if our house was still standing. The only thing I took out of the house, it just so happens tonight I have that Bible. That's it. That's all that made it, and our cars. We left that house. This is really interesting. I have no idea what we're going to get into tonight. We left that house, went down the canyon. Everybody else, sightseers, coming upstream to see what's going on. I can't go on all this. I won't have time. But basically what happened was we were tested. You know, we had committed everything unto God, but here's a test now. And a week before that, I had been getting this scripture every morning when I woke up. Something whispered unto me, cast not away your confidence, for it has great recompense and reward. In fact, in the Sunday before at church, the pastor says, I need to know what the Lord's saying to some of you out there. I'm always saying what I think God wants us to do. But what is he saying to the body? And I remember I was a pretty new Christian. I just stood right up. And I said, well, I know what he's saying to me. He says, what is it? He didn't know my name yet because we were pretty new there. And I said, well, he's telling me not to cast away my confidence because it has great recompense or reward. And the just shall live by faith. But if I draw back, he's not going to have any pleasure in me. And he says, and? I says, I don't know, and. That's all I know. That's all he's saying, you know. Oh, okay, you know, I mean, you know, he thought I was going to have a punchline or something. And then we did that, and this is what happened. But that was all I knew. Well, then our house burned down, and the next morning I go to the top of the driveway, and I didn't know if it made it or not. We lived over the side of a mountain, kind of, and there was nothing there. The house was gone. And I'll never forget two voices, one here and one here. The first one was here, and it said, this prosperity stuff you've been learning about doesn't work for just everybody. It does work. It is in the Bible, but it only works for people like Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, people that have been in this a long time, longer than you have. I heard that in my mind. And I heard way down in here, can you still trust me? That's what I heard. And it was like a fork in the road right there. Do I take the left fork? Do I take the right fork? Do I go with my head? Do I go with my eyes? Do I go with everything I see in front of me? I can smell and taste the ashes. Or do I go with this? There wasn't really a hesitation. I turned to the guy with me who wasn't a believer, and I said to him, Ted, I just want you to know that we're going to have a better house. It's going to be fully paid for, and that God's going to bless us so much that we won't have room to contain all that he gives us. And it goes on, and that all happened. We got the house fully paid for and all those things. I could go on and on about the miracles that God worked in. But see, I was doing pretty good. I'd learned a little bit of word. I'd applied the word. I decided to go with what God said. I didn't know at that time it was God versus the enemy. All I knew was my mind had been renewed enough at that point to not go with my flesh, my eyes, what it saw there. Total chaos. The only fleshly reaction I really had at that time, I think, was, how do I tell Mary Ann? This is going to be the toughest part, because she wasn't at the top of the driveway. But my mind sort of was rejoicing. I mean, there was a kind of inside, this is going to be interesting, because God is really going to... Well, I wasn't a very old Christian then. But you know what? Just because you did one thing right doesn't mean you're going to do the next thing right unless you stay in that word. You know, this week something happened that really... I had to think about this a little bit. I've recently retired from my old job of engineering because I really felt that's what God wants me to do, is kind of keep reading in the Bible, disentangle yourself with the affairs of this life. A soldier doesn't get involved with, it's Timothy where it talks about all this and everything kind of lines up. And we've been doing that, disentangling ourselves. I told Marianne, I feel like an ocean liner that's been going down the ocean for years in the same direction. And now all of a sudden something's pushing it at the front, trying to get to change direction. That ocean liner doesn't want to change all of a sudden. It's too used to going down that way. And sometimes we think if God says do something, we can do it right away. But I'm telling you, habit is a hard thing to break. I don't care how long you've been in this. I mean, you want to go back to, this is how I've always earned my living. Well, did God provide the income or did he not? Well, yes, he did, but this is the way he did it. You see, you get tied up in this is how he did it, rather than God just being the source. I didn't realize it's so subtle what happened there. I was tied into a method of God getting the finances to me rather than the God that gets the finances to me. You know what I mean? Beware of that. Now, this very week, something happened that kind of surprised me. We sold our house recently. It was a great blessing. We got the money. Everything's going good. God has blessed us so much. Years ago, we claimed another scripture in Deuteronomy. One of the blessings is that God will provide a storehouse for you. Marianne says, you know, we're getting blessed, but can we save some? Can we believe God to save some? I'll never forget that. And I says, well, gee, that wouldn't be living by faith. What was my first thought, you know? I mean, you mean get something ahead of time, put in the bank? Hey, that doesn't sound like God to me. You know, I'm kind of a young Christian. She says, well, I sure would think God would want us to kind of set some of this aside that we're getting blessed with here. And I said, well, you know, there is a scripture in Deuteronomy that says he will bless your storehouses. And I guess a storehouse is sort of something you set aside for a rainy day kind of thing. So we started believing God for that. And every year, God had, at the end of the year, the max we could put in our retirement. Always had it. And over the years, it's mounted up. Okay, well, here I am at 57 and a half years old. That money's out there for 59 and a half, okay? We've got 2 years to go. And I've just retired. Oh, we sold our house. No problem. See, I've got this all figured. I'm a numbers kind of guy. You know, I'm an engineer. They love numbers. Love them. Just don't worship them. And so I told Marianne, I says, now, here's the situation. We've got X dollars. We got this. We got this. We got to do all this for 2 years, you know, and all this. And now I've got it all figured out in my head how this is going to last for 2 years. We can have a nice, generous budget. No problem. If God's blessed us enough. It's a nice, generous budget. And here we go. And I said, now, we sold our cabin before that. We should have X dollars in the bank from that. And I add this to it. And she says, yeah, we've still got that. We've got so many thousand dollars left of that. And I said, that's all? What happened to the rest of it? Like, what have you done with it? Now, I knew she hadn't done anything with it. But I said, you know, we're going at a pace greater than what it's going to take to get to 59 and a half, baby. We really have. We're kind of using up a little great rate here. So I said, you know, we need to really get on a budget. And she starts getting a little bit edgy because she's in charge of she pays all the bills and everything. And I can see she's getting edgy, so I'm a mature Christian. So I said, Marianne, look, don't take this burden on you. It's not your fault. You know, you're not doing anything wrong. I'm real super Christian here. You know, I'm looking at her and say, honey, we're starting today. Forget, you know, maybe we got over our budget a little bit from today. This is what we got to do, okay? She says, okay, I can do that. I can do that. Like good woman she is. And she's good at, she'll work it out. She'll work the budget out. She'll do everything right down the middle. And she'll do it right. So I think I'm feeling pretty good about that because, hey, you know, I didn't insist on my own way. You know, I said, honey, it's okay if you've blown this money somewhere. You took a trip to Mexico and I didn't know about it. It's okay, you know. You know, I don't know when you could have done it, but wherever that money is, okay, I'm bigger than that. You know, I'm not going to worry about finances, I thought. So I'm going to the Y, which I've been doing, swimming. And I'm swimming down here doing my crawl and shooting down the pool and doing my hour, whatever. Right in the middle of the lap last week. Boom. I stopped dead in the middle of a lap. Stood on the bottom of the pool and let God deal with me about something. And I'm just sharing this with you because I don't want you to make the same mistake. And that was, you remember what happened to David when he numbered his troops? You ever read that in the Bible? We don't have a time to go. We're almost done here tonight. But if you recall, what David did was after he had all these miraculous victories, had cleaned up on everybody. In fact, the chapter before in 2 Samuel describes it, tells how one guy wiped out 800 men by himself. Another guy was standing in a bean field. The troops left him, and he was by himself, and he defeated the rest of the Philistines, held them all off. This is what happened the chapter before. And then all of a sudden, in the next chapter, David says, Joab, go out and count and see how many guys we got out there. I want to know how many guys we can count on for battle. You know, two people are going, huh? One's Joab and one's God. Because God has already done everything for these people. He has blessed them. He has defeated enemies. When you beat 800 people up, one person, that's God. You can't do that on your own. Can you imagine? More people that ever came in this church at any one time, one man took care of. That's got to be God. I don't care, you know, who you are, Green Bay Packers, whatever. That's got to be God. Okay, so the very next chapter, David's going, well, you know, I don't know. I'd kind of like to know how many people we got so we know if we're going to win this next battle. And Joab says, don't do it. Don't do this thing. He says, God is really, he said, this is bad. And it was, and David suffered for it, okay? That I don't have no more time to go in there. But that's what happened to me swimming down this pool. Don't number your troops. Don't do this thing. Don't start changing the way you're living your life based upon another source of income other than me. See how subtle this is? I was looking to my retirement funds as my source. It gradually had happened over the years where God had blessed it, He had blessed it, He had blessed it. You know, there's plenty in there to take care of Marianne and I, but that ain't our source. If it was gone tomorrow, boy, I'm telling you, that's a sobering thought, people. That's what it means to commit it unto Him. Do your very best. Do what you need to do. Stay in the Word. But don't ever, ever substitute something that God has all blessed you with for the answer, for the future. If He's given you a storehouse, blessing for it, and go about your business. So I came back and I said, honey, listen, forget what I said this morning. I said, we're just going to live our life the way we've been living it. We're not going to worry about any budget. We're not going to have a budget. We're just going to live. We're going to do whatever we feel like doing. That's what we've done for 23 years. God's been there every time we've needed Him. We have a heavenly bank account we keep track of. What we give, who we gave it to, what scripture we're claiming, what return we're claiming. We know at any time I could tell anyone here, for 23 years I have a set of books that cover volumes that shows exactly what I got in my heavenly bank account, shows exactly what my faith, whenever I need money, I make a faith withdrawal and I've always got it. I can tell you stories, true ones, not on bragging on me, but God, miracles. One time something happened where He gave us a fourfold increase in 1 year in salary because of something that we did. I mean, right afterwards. I mean, you know, we paid more taxes in 1 year after we believed God for something. The taxes were 10 times my income. Just the taxes before I got into this. Before God and I started withdrawing this from my heavenly bank. Just the taxes on it were 10 times what I used to make. I'm not bragging on me. This is the Holy Spirit telling you it works. But you better keep your eye on the one that makes it work. And not on what you've saved up or not what He's blessed you with. So my point is tonight, be careful. You know, just because we've learned a few things, we've grown in the Lord, the enemy's always out there trying to take your eyes off of God and put it on, gearing everything to lasting till that stuff starts coming in. And that's wrong, as I found out.
Now let's go over the homework for this lesson. Now, the homework for this lesson is going to be kind of short because the lesson itself consisted mostly of personal experiences that I had in casting not away my confidence in certain situations. And so I didn't want to spend a lot of time on questions about my personal stuff because I don't think that's appropriate in a word-based course. So anyway, the homework is a little bit shorter than normal. Now, let's read our text for this homework, which is Hebrews 10, 35 through 38. So I'll turn to that right now. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 38. Okay, here we go. Starting with verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And this is God speaking here, of course, through his own word. Okay, let's just talk about this a second, then we'll go on the homework. He says in verse 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. In the first part of this verse, he tells us something we're not to do. And then he says, if we'll obey him in this, we have a potential for a great reward. And we'll talk about that a little bit in the homework. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. He's telling us here that if we don't cast away our confidence, and what he's telling us is the way not to cast away our confidence is to have patience. Because, you know, a lot of times after we pray or cast our cares upon the Lord, there's a period of time that elapses between the time we cast our cares on him and we see a resolution to our problem. And so he says, during this time, don't cast away your confidence. And the way you do this is by having patience until you receive the promise. And it may be yet a little while, but he will come and he won't tarry. In other words, you may have to wait a little while, but he will come through for you. And he tells you how to do it. Now, who's the just? Well, we'll talk about that in the homework, shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, that means that does cast away their confidence, my soul, God speaking here, shall have no pleasure in that person. Now, let's go over the homework. First question is true or false. Once we've prayed the prayer of commitment by casting all our cares upon him, it's important that we continue to maintain a positive attitude until the situation that caused the initial anxiety is resolved. Is that true or false? Well, of course, that's true. And I'm just putting this in here because I want to emphasize the fact that once we've prayed the prayer of commitment, we're not done. Okay? That's a necessary but not sufficient condition to get out of our jam that caused the anxiety in the first place. We need to pray the prayer of commitment, but it's very important that what we do after we pray the prayer of commitment, and that's what this question deals with. And the way this question is worded, it is true. Next question. It's only by doing this, that is, doing what I said in the question before, maintaining a positive attitude until the situation that caused initial anxiety is resolved, it's only by doing this that we will get the reward, which is our problem resolution. Is that true or false? Well, that is true, of course, just like the last question was true. It's only by doing this that we get the reward, which is our problem resolution or the solution to our problem. That's the way you get an answer, folks. When you've got something in your life that's giving you anxiety, it's causing fretting, sleeplessness maybe at night, it's only by praying the prayer of commitment and casting all our cares upon him and then continuing to maintain a positive attitude until God finishes solving the problem for you. That's the reward by his solving the problem, but it's the only way you're going to get that reward is by doing it the way the Word of God tells us in this lesson. Next question. Hebrews 10:35-38 instructs us on how to do this. That is, continue to maintain a positive attitude until the situation that caused the initial anxiety is resolved. And that is true. Hebrews 10:35-38 instructs us on how to maintain a faith attitude after we've prayed the prayer of commitment until we see the resolution to our problem. Okay, that's true. Now, fill in the blank. Hebrews 10:35 says, blank not away, therefore your blank, which has great recompense of blank. What goes in those blanks? Well, Hebrews 10:35, of course, says, cast not away, therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. So this is the reason we don't cast away our confidence, folks, after we've prayed the prayer of commitment or the prayer of faith. It's because if we do cast away our confidence, we don't get any reward. And what would the reward be? The resolution to our problem. And so, folks, it's necessary to stand in faith after we've prayed the prayer of commitment and not cast away our confidence when we don't see anything happen for a period of time. God's telling us, he's warning us here, I want to solve your problem, but I can't do it if you cast away your confidence before I bring the answer. And so that's what goes in those blanks. Cast, confidence, and reward. Name two ways a person could cast away their confidence after praying the prayer of commitment. Now just use your own judgment and reasoning powers here to come up with a couple of ways, maybe that you yourself or someone you know in the past has prayed for the prayer of commitment, but then before they saw the answer, they cast away their confidence by some method. Name a couple of these ways a person could cast away their confidence. Well, you have your own answers here, so there is no right or wrong answer really. But let me give you a couple of ways, actually three ways, that I have experienced that you can cast away your confidence, and you better be careful. Okay? Number one, by having thoughts contrary to what you prayed. It's very important that once you've cast your cares upon the Lord and given the problem to the Lord, that you watch your thoughts. Because if you don't, those thoughts are going to give place to what? Words. And we know that words are very powerful. And so number one, the first thing you need to do, a person needs to do, is having thoughts contrary to what you prayed. Number two, leading to talk contrary to what you prayed. In other words, if you have thoughts contrary to what you prayed, they're going to lead to talk contrary to what you prayed. And talk contrary to what you prayed will kill it right there. Why? Because the Word of God tells us that words are very important. It tells us in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life both are in the power of the what? The tongue. It says that therefore, in the matters of health, Proverbs tells us the tongue of the wise then is health. In other words, if you want to have a healthy body, you need to say healthy words about your body. Don't say things like, well, I have this flu or my disease and stuff like that. You better watch that confession because what we say with our mouth and believe in our heart, according to Mark 11:23, shall come to pass in our lives. So, number two, talk contrary to what you prayed is another way to cast away your confidence. And finally, number three, any other action contrary to what you prayed besides talking. So those three things, thoughts contrary to what you prayed, talk contrary to what you prayed, and actions contrary to what you prayed, are actually, I've given you three ways a person could cast away their confidence after praying the prayer of commitment. Hebrews 10:36, King James Version says, "For you have need of blank, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise." What do you need after you've done the will of God? In other words, what would the will of God be? Well, that's the next question, so I won't give it away yet. What do we need to have that after we've done the will of God, we might receive the promise? In other words, the resolution of our problem by God. God tells us in His Word in Hebrews 10:36 that we have need of patience. In other words, you're not going to see the answer right away. And so, after you've prayed the prayer of commitment, and you look around and things look worse, be careful. Don't cast away your confidence. And God tells us right here, look, it's not going to happen right this instant. You're going to have patience during the time after you've prayed until you see the resolution of your problem. So it's very important. Remember in Hebrews, I think it's 6, Hebrews 6, let's see, I'll look back at it. Hebrews 6, 12. He says here, "Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises," talking about the promises of God. See, faith is a necessary ingredient to receiving the answer to our prayer, but so is patience. You see that right there in Hebrews 6:12? It's by faith and patience. So patience is extremely important, folks. In fact, James tells us that we're to count it all joy when we undergo various trials, knowing this, that the trying of our faith works patience in our lives. That tells us without the trials, there'll be no patience. So we develop patience by going through trials. That doesn't mean God sends the trials, but a neat thing happens when we do have trials. You know, Satan sends our trials. He sends our problems. And the world also, the circumstances in the world. But those are opportunities to develop patience, according to James 1:2. James 1:2 says, "To count it all joy when you undergo various trials, knowing this." This is how you maintain joy in trials, knowing that you're developing patience as you go through these trials. What is the will of God to get rid of our anxiety. In other words, it says here that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Well, what is the will of God they're talking about here that assists us in getting rid of our anxiety? Well, what was the will of God to get rid of that anxiety? To pray the prayer of commitment in the first place. That's how you get rid of it. Okay? In other words, after you've done that, Hebrews 10:36 is telling us, after you've prayed the prayer of commitment, then you have need of patience so that you might receive the promise. So the thing that you did that was the will of God, that's the first step in getting rid of your anxiety, is to pray the prayer of commitment. That's what goes in that blank. Next question. Hebrews 10:37 in the King James Version says, "For yet a little blank, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." What goes in that blank? "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." In other words, that's just another way of saying you're going to need patience during this little while. It's going to take a little while after you've prayed for the resolution to your problem to come. Okay? And so God's telling us this, and he's telling us that we need to have patience during this time. So he's saying, be ready to wait a little bit after you've prayed. That's normal, and I want you to be aware of the fact that you might have to wait a little while, and I want you to have patience while you're waiting. I want you not to cast away your confidence while you're waiting, and it might be a little while, but I will come, and I will not tarry. In other words, I am coming with the solution to your problem, but you're going to have to stand in faith a little while, and it's going to be necessary that you don't cast away your confidence and have patience during this little while. And then if you'll do that, I shall come with the resolution to your problem. Next question. This means we need blank for the little blank before he comes with the solution to our problem. Well, I've just given you this answer, but let's go over it. This means we need patience for the little while before he comes with the solution to our problem. See how it all fits together here in this verse? I'm just kind of going through Hebrews 10:35 and 38 and showing how it applies to this prayer of commitment and what we're supposed to do. Next question. Hebrews 10:38 King James Version says, "Now the blank shall live by blank. But if any man draw blank, my soul shall have no blank in him." Well, you just look up Hebrews 10:38, fill in the blanks, and it would be this way. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." This is God speaking now, and this is whenever God's speaking, it's very important to pay attention, okay? And he's saying that we're to live by faith, but if any man draws back, my soul, that is God speaking, shall have no pleasure in that person. Now, how might we draw back? Just go back to the original verse. And it says, "Cast not away your confidence." We would draw back, in other words, then, by casting away our confidence and not having patience during the little while we have to wait for the resolution to our problem. And that would be drawing back if we do cast away our confidence, or we don't have patience during that little while. So God's saying, don't do that. Don't draw back. If you do, my soul shall have no pleasure in you. Now, of course, as I said in the lesson, this is the verse. That's why I'm spending a lot of time on it. God gave me before our house burned down. He says, don't cast away your confidence, for he has great recompense of reward. And I even got up in church and told that's what God was saying to me before our house burned down the next week, before the next time we went to church, our house burned down. And God was telling me ahead of time, God didn't burn our house down, don't get me wrong, but God was telling me something's coming up in your life that's going to take a great deal of faith. And he's saying, during this thing that comes up, I don't want you to cast away your confidence, because if you don't cast it away, there's going to be a great reward for you. And I talked about the great reward was God got us a bigger house, a better house that was fully paid for. So the great reward during the time of not casting away our confidence and having patience was a new house, a better house, a bigger house, fully paid for. So there is reward. Remember he said reward? Talked about the great recompense of reward if we don't cast away our confidence. Well, our reward was a brand new house fully paid for that was nicer than the other house. So That was my personal experience with these verses. Now, next question. Who are the just or the righteous? In other words, that's what just means. These just people that are lived by faith, who are these people? Well, the answer to this question that goes in this blank is born again believers. Those are the just. Those are the righteous. Remember, if you're a believer, you have the very righteousness of God. We've covered that in many of our lessons. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is our text on this. He that knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus. So who are those just people that are to live by faith? Who are the righteous? The born-again believers. In fact, they're the only ones that can live by faith because, you know, you can't have that faith in your heart until you're born again. You need to use that faith to get to born again, and then that faith in your heart comes from studying and meditating on the Word of God. Now, not many people that aren't born-again believers do that. And so the just are, and the righteous are born-again believers, and those people are to live by faith. Who then are those who must live by faith? Well, we've talked about that just now. But just to nail it down, who then are those who must live by faith? Who are these just? Born-again believers. God commands those people to live by faith. In other words, how are we going to do that, folks? Do you just do it? You just kind of get your courage up and do it? No, I've tried that and it doesn't work. The only way to live by faith is to continually meditate in God's Word every day. Get in the Word of God and meditate on verses in the Word of God. And that's what puts the faith in your heart. And that's how. And then when you apply these verses that you read to your life, that's living by faith. That's living by the faith that you got when you meditated in God's Word. You're putting it into practice, okay? So the believer, those that are supposed to live by faith are born-again believers. Now, how might a person draw back from that faith, okay? Well, we kind of covered this in a previous question, but I want to nail it down. How might a person draw back? Through thoughts, words, or actions that indicate to God that we have taken the problem back from His disposition, okay? What does that mean? That means through our thoughts, after we've prayed the prayer of commitment, that lead to words or actions that show God that we no longer are trusting Him exclusively for the resolution of our problem or the disposing of our problem. That's how a person draws back. Through thoughts that lead to words or actions that indicate to God that we have taken the problem back from His disposition. That's how you draw back. Well, then how do you do it God's way? By not doing that. By controlling your thoughts. Remember, 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 5, is kind of an interesting verse. It tells us how not to draw back. It tells us this. It says, we have some weapons, this is verse 4, that are not of the body, or not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are they? By casting down imaginations or reasonings, it says in my margin, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That means His Word. People that do that, folks, that bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and His Word, are people who have a renewed mind. Okay, and that talks about that in Romans 12, verse 2, where it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How do we become transformed and not conformed to this world? By the renewing of our mind. And then this verse right here tells what a renewed mind will do. It will cast down imaginations and reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God or God's Word. Now, who might do that? Satan might put thoughts in your mind, mightn't he, that contradict God's Word. And if we go with those thoughts, if we give voice to those thoughts, then we negate our prayer, a prayer of commitment. And so that's a way of drawing back. So we have to be careful with our thoughts and our words and our actions, because God is watching us. And if we want to live by faith and not draw back, we need to make sure that our words, our actions, and our everything that we do during that little while that we are to exhibit patience before the answer comes, that we're not drawing back. We have to indicate that to God. Okay, next question. God has no pleasure in them who draw back from their faith, because without blank, it is blank to blank him. What goes in there? And I give you a hint, Hebrews 11:6. God has no pleasure in them who draw back from their faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please him or please God. See, we can't please God without faith. There's something about faith, folks, that just pleases God. And it also displeases him when we don't have it. See, faith is the way we got saved, wasn't it? Without faith, you can't be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, that is a gift of God, so that no man can boast. That's Ephesians 2:8. That's how you got saved, was by your faith. And so then that completes our homework for this lesson.